Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Let's look at it here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, God's concerned about your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you? Which is your reasonable service? You know, a lot of these things that we preach as far as outward standards and things of holiness, they're not unreasonable things. They are just simply our reasonable service. Let's look at the next verse. That's why I want to focus your attention here tonight. Verse number 2, we all could probably, many of us, quote it. Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Now there's the not. There's the negative side. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many wants to please God here tonight? How many wants to do the will of God? You realize that's the best life that there is to live the will of God. Amen. I don't believe, Brother Hill, that this is necessarily saying that there are three different stages of the will of God that can be chosen. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Maybe I should look at it differently. I think those are all adjectives that are describing the one will of God, which is good. It is acceptable to God, and it is perfect unto God. Can I get a witness on that here tonight? But I must admit, even though that's the way I feel this reads, that there is sometimes people who miss exactly, I believe, what God would have just perfectly for them in their life, and they have to settle for a lesser thing. You know, you can disqualify yourself from exactly what God wants you to do in this world. You really can. So we got to be careful the decisions and the choices that we make. Can I get a witness here tonight? But I want to preach to you here about two words in this verse here. I want to talk about these words here, conformed and transformed. Conformed and transformed. Now there's a likeness with these two words. And the likeness between these two words, they both have a root word, the word form. So something is trying to form us. Something is trying to make shape out of our lives. Amen. That's what this verse is talking about. Our lives are taking shape. They're either being conformed or they're being transformed. Let me ask you a question here tonight. What kind of shape is your life taking today? Now, I'm not talking about in a physical sense. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense and in a whole sense. What kind of shape is your life taking right here as I preach to you tonight here at Calvary Evangelistic Center? Hey, since I've been here last year, let me ask you a question. Since I've been here last year, have you been more transformed by the Lord, or have you been more conformed to the world? See, what we've got here, if we're a believer, we've got two forces that are working in our lives. Number one, there is an outer force that is trying to conform us. There is an inner force that is trying to transform us. Amen. And which one wins out determines what shape our life is going to take. I want to be transformed. How about you? Hallelujah. Now this word conformed, only two Greek words in the Bible are translated into the word conform. Those two words, incidentally, are translated a couple of different ways. And I'm certainly not a Greek scholar and would probably have a little difficulty pronouncing those two words for conform. But let me tell you, both of them are defined in two different ways, or translated into two different ways in the New Testament. Both of them are translated into conform to. Both of them are also translated in a different place into fashioned like unto. So that's the idea we've got here, conformed. Something that is following a pattern here. Or maybe we could say it like this, something that is being pressed into a mold. The prefix con kind of has the idea with it to press something down or to push it into. So what we've got here is we've got a conformation. So let's just say it's being pushed into a mold. Now there's another word here that we're looking at, and that's the word transformed. I think I can probably pronounce the Greek word for this one. It's one that's similar to another English word that we use. This word transformed comes from the Greek word metamorpho. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. And so what we're talking about here, Brother Hill, we're talking about something that happens on the inside and works itself out and transforms us and changes us. Can I get an amen here tonight? What the idea here is like a butterfly that, or excuse me, a caterpillar that goes into a cocoon. And he is a caterpillar, spins a cocoon that you know, resembles the shape of a caterpillar. But inside of him, there is some information. Inside of him, there is some programming that the Creator has put there. And no matter, even though this cocoon still resembles the form of the caterpillar, down inside, there is a butterfly emerging. There are wings developing. There are beautiful, radiant colors developing. And one day, as he begins to tear out of that cocoon, we see this wonderful transformation that has happened. Even though there's a shell that appears to limit him, there is something going on down inside that is transforming him. I want to tell you what God wants to do in your life. He wants to put some information down inside of you. He has put a new nature inside of you. If you have been born again, that will transform you, transfigure you into the likeness of His dear Son. Hallelujah. I want to be transformed. How about you? And that's interesting because the word metamorpho here in the Greek that's translated in our English New Testament is translated into the word transform, it's translated into the word change, and twice it's translated into the word transfigure. And it's translated there where we see Jesus up on that mountain with those three close disciples, Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says He was transfigured before them. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Hill, that divine nature that was always visible as Jesus walked this earth in His ministry, it began to shine in such a way on that particular occasion that His body was enveloped in light. His clothes became whiter than any fuller could white them. Hallelujah. Elijah and Moses appeared unto Him. Peter was so caught up in the rapture of the moment that he declared, "Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias." But the Lord spoke from heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him." There's something in Him. You've seen the frailty of His flesh as He sat on a well down there in Samaria. You watched Him sleep in the back of the boat, but you also saw Him stand up on the brow of the boat and take charge of the elements. There is something divine inside of Him. And the Apostle Paul gets here something by revelation, but it's also practical application of this gospel. He's telling us that this new nature that we partake of is given to us to transform us, to transfigure us. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants Christ to shine out of us. Amen. But the world wants to put its stamp on us. Wants to put its mold on us. I want to preach to you for just a little bit here tonight, and I don't intend to be very long, but I want to preach to you for just a little while here tonight on don't take the mold, break the mold. You ever feel the pressure of this world trying to mold you? I think it's very interesting that it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think that's really where a lot of the pressure is in the hour that we're living in. I really think that's where hell does most of its work, is it tries to
conform our mentality to its mentality. It tries to get us to think more like the world than we do like the Lord. Amen. Worldliness is a terrible problem in the church. But I'm going to tell you where worldliness begins. It begins in our thought patterns. Can I hear an amen? It begins in our perception of things. We begin to look at things with the mentality of, I want to fit in this world. I don't want to be odd in this world. I want to be part of this world. But the Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. There is something inside of us that is divine. And if God has His way, amen, even though we're part of the population of this world, we will be transfigured into something totally different than what this world is trying to make out of people. Oh, God, help us here tonight. Do you feel the pressure? You ever feel it pushing on you? But you know what I feel sometimes too? I feel that inner pressure pushing against. What we got to do, we got to get to the place to where that inner pressure, amen, is pushing us more than that outer pressure. You know, really, what the devil wants to do, he wants to, when he conforms you, he confines you. He really limits you. The idea behind transform is, you know, trans means to pass over. I think of transport. I think of transatlantic. I think of, you know, transportation. I think of something that is really reaching out here. God has planted something in all of His creation that makes it want to grow. Amen. The seed, God has put information and life down inside that seed. It falls into the ground and it dies. But when it dies, there's life down inside of there, Brother Hill. And the kernel springs up into a stalk of corn with many kernels. Can I hear an amen? The nut turns into a tree. Hallelujah. Well, I think God would like to do something with this nut here tonight. Amen. He doesn't want me to just stay something that's so hard-shelled with a little bit of information down in here that's just a food for a squirrel. No. God's got something better than that for my life. Can I hear an amen? He wants me to grow up into something that's useful, something that provides fruit. How I feel Holy Ghost here tonight. Something that provides some shade and some shelter for a weary soul. God's got big plans for your life. Do you know what the devil wants to do out of you? He wants to make a bonsai bush out of you. He wants to put you in a little small container. Yeah. That's what a bonsai is. And you know, it can be done with about any species of tree. Mostly it's done with pines and some other large trees, but they plant it in a small container. They clip it. They prune it. Its root system is limited. It's constantly clipped and pruned. And before you know it, this tree has developed with some of the characteristics of full maturity, but it's only about this tall. God has designed for it to be just enormous. He's designed for it to be so big in circumference that one man cannot reach his reach around the trunk of this tree. But the devil has done something here. He's put it in a little pot, and it can be carried around and placed anywhere that he wants it to. There's just enough of its natural appearance there that you can recognize what it's supposed to be. But it's so controlled by this groomer, amen, that it never really develops. You know what? I see some people, Brother Hill, in churches as I travel this country, and the devil has planted them in a shallow pot. And it breaks my heart because I see their talents, I see their skills, I see their abilities, I see the bark of a great oak, I see the leaf of a flourishing maple. Are you listening to me here? But they're just a little bush over in some corner of the devil's theology. I tell you what God wants to do.
pressure from this world. You know, it's not just young people that face the pressure. It's moms and dads that face it too. You know, I think sometimes moms and dads are the ones that put some of the pressure on the young people. Boy, it got quiet when I said that. I felt that one kind of do like that, you know. But it's the truth anyways. Oh, you know, you can start working with young people and start preaching and teaching holiness. And most of them are pretty tender. And after a while, they'll start embracing it. They're susceptible to the move of the Holy Ghost. But you know what I've seen happen many times? Is when they start doing it, some mom who's already determined not to grow in that area. Some dad who's already determined, no, I'm not going to get out of this little box here. I'm going to stay right here. Begins to get under conviction when their child begins to tower above them. Oh, God, help me. And I've seen it happen before, Brother Hill. Many times, it's through the hands of a mother or a father that a child sometimes is placed in this limiting pot, this mold of the world. God, help me here. I'm going to tell you what, young folks, listen to me. You're never to be disrespectful to your parents. You're never to not honor your parents. You're never to sash your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days shall be long upon the earth. Can I hear an amen here tonight? But brothers and sisters, there comes a time when there is something that's put inside of you. If you're really born again, it's just your nature to grow. And if they're limited to a little pot, you don't have to be. You can outgrow that and still keep a good spirit. How about it here tonight? I want to be transformed and not conformed. I was raised
with a television, Brother Hill. Grew up watching it. Incidentally, when I went to Bible school and was dedicating my life to the ministry, I had to pray a lot for God to heal my mind. But there came a time in my life before I ever went to Bible school that the Holy Ghost put His finger on that in my life. Well, I couldn't clean my parents' house out. I couldn't be disrespectful. But by the same token, I didn't have to sit down and partake of what was going on. Oh, God, help me here. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but maybe I can just share some of my personal testimony with you. Maybe it'll help somebody that's here tonight. I don't know, I just feel a little liberty right now. I remember when I was in my early 20s, preaching the gospel, my parents were divorced. My dad was raised in the Pentecostal church. I love my dad. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Respectful. Very respectful. But, you know, he and I didn't see, shall I say, eye to eye on some of these holiness issues God had dealt with my heart. I remember there was a particular time I was at his house and something was on television and he was wanting me to watch it with him. Well, Brother Chad, I'd grown up watching it. And I had to draw a line. I didn't say anything. I didn't speak any ill words. I just simply sat at the kitchen table while he went in there and watched. And I sat in there and I listened. I was very friendly and I spoke to him. He never said a word. I never said a word. He never asked me to watch TV with him again. Are you listening to me? And now when I go visiting, he turns it off. He's very respectful to me. Are you listening to me? Hey, you can do it in a right way. But I had to make my mind up. If I'd have went in there and sat down, I don't even think it was anything that necessarily was probably even all that evil at that time. But if I'd have went in there, Brother Hill, I would have set a precedent. And little by little, I would have had to have conformed to that lifestyle and at least put my approval on it when I was there. But I want to tell you what, you don't have to conform. You can be transformed. Can I get a witness here tonight?
Well, we is the greatest in your life? The pressure to please this world? Or the pressure to please God?
I'd rather please God than this world.
Even if the world looks at me and thinks I'm a freak.
Oh, God, help me here. I'm not a freak. I'm doing what God designed for me to do.
Pardon the plainness, but it's the bonsai
that's not natural. Can I hear an amen? It's the bonsai that's the display, amen, for some satanic circus somewhere. Not the natural tree. Come on, help me preach a little while here. Hey, the devil wants to put a mold on your mind.
You know, one mold I'm seeing the devil really pressure, even the church with today, is the mold of fashion.
Huh? I really felt the Lord dealing with me back in the prayer room here today. I really did.
I didn't intend on preaching like this the first night, but the Lord intended for me to,
and so I want to obey Him. The mold of fashion.
You know, really, the devil tries to make it all exciting, but really, if we went the devil's way, this world would be so boring. He gets one individual and sets them up as a pattern and as a mold, and then he tries to stamp that on everybody. He'll take a Madonna and he'll want to stamp her wardrobe, her hairstyle, her lifestyle, hello, her speech, and her morals on every woman he can stamp it on. Come on, help me preach here tonight. He'll get you can tell I'm kind of behind on some of these stars. He'll get a Garth Brooks or somebody like that. Amen. That's the most recent I can think of, and I know it's not recent. Amen. And you know, he'll want to put the same kind of hat on everybody. And I'm not preaching against necessarily cowboy hats. I got one. But you know, he'll want to pour you in some tight Wrangler jeans. Are you listening to me here? He'll want to put the same kind of voice in you, and he's got this mold, and he's pressing everybody into this mold. And you know what? 2 years down the road, the mold is old. And so he's got to bring somebody else out. And the world goes crazy over the new fad. And 2 years down the road, the mold is old. And so he's got to bring another style out, another type of music out, another kind of film out. Are you going to help me preach here just a little while tonight? You know why the mold is old? The mold does not satisfy. And so you constantly got to have a supply. But God says, let me transform you, and I will make you something satisfying. Hallelujah. But people are conformed. You know, it breaks my heart, Brother Hill. Sometimes it thrills my heart. I go preach revivals, preach meetings, and, you know, see the Lord move, and come back a year or two later, and I see folks wonderfully transformed. Oh, hallelujah. We got this lady in our church, Sister Diane. I remember when I first started preaching in that area, before I even started dating Sister Kim here, Brother Burdine would have me come preach, and you know, I was single and she was single, and Nanny always said, you know, she always said when I was single my pockets did jingle. That's our little thing she always said. Amen. But mine still jingle. Amen. I carry the keys. So I'm just having a little fun here. Yeah. But anyways, you know, I was going there, and
He would invite me to go out to eat, and he'd invite Sister Kim to go out to eat. You know, we kind of double-dated with the pastor there, and he kind of set it up. But it was wonderful because they had a wonderful relationship. We were both from broken homes, and it was wonderful, you know, to spend time together with them. It was a relaxed thing, and our friendship grew. And then we fell in love, and we married. It's a beautiful story. I'll tell you one day. But I'm getting a little sidetracked right now. I'm trying to preach. Help me get back on track here, Brother Hill. Amen. You know, God's got a beautiful story for you too. And if you'll let Him transform you, you'll feel like I feel. But if you let Him conform you, you'll end up with a broken heart. Are you listening to me, young people? You'll end up with a broken heart. Listen, God knows how to make your life better than you know how to make it yourself. And those desires you've got and those feelings you've got, God put them there. And God's got a wonderful plan to satisfy them if you'll trust Him. Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah. It's a matter of trust, Brother Hill. But Sister Diane, yeah, I'm back on track now. Sister Diane, she's about 60 now. She was probably in her late 40s, around 50 when I first started preaching in that area. And we used to tease, we still do, we call her our Presbyterian. That's what she was. She's Presbyterian. She didn't look Pentecostal. She didn't act Pentecostal. She didn't sing Pentecostal. She wasn't Pentecostal. She was Presbyterian. She came to church with us. She liked us. We liked her. And, she didn't look holiness. Not at all. You know, the jewelry, the makeup, the cut hair. I never saw Sister Diane in pants. She always wore a dress to church. But one day, Brother Burdine and I went over to do a little work for her. She needed some furniture moved. And we went over there and she had some pants on. And I didn't say anything. Brother Burdine didn't say anything. I was grieved. Probably visibly grieved, even though I didn't say anything. She was a really nice person, Brother Hill. And I'd seen God touch her in our church services. And I'd just never seen her like that before. And you know, I'd seen some other, you know, confirmation to the world. But when I saw that one, I don't know. I guess I was feeling like there was being a transformation. And when I saw that, I saw that there wasn't being as much transformation as I thought there was. Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? God started doing a transformation in her heart. Years later, she testified and she spoke of that very day when Brother Burdine and I came over to her house and she said, I was so ashamed. I was so embarrassed. She just wanted to cry. You know what? God started transforming her. She started feeling the pressure, Brother Hill, to please God more than the pressure to please this world. Hallelujah. She cleaned her closet out. Glory be to God. She quit wearing her makeup. Hallelujah. She laid her jewelry aside. One of the hardest things for her was her hair. She finally stopped cutting her hair, stopped dyeing her hair. Amen. Let it grow. She'd go home to Virginia to visit her mother, and her mother and inevitably every time would say something to her about her hair. But she was determined to be transformed. Are you listening to me here tonight? Hey, I want to tell you something here. Friend, God wants to work a transformation in your life, and it'll be beautiful if you'll let Him. But the devil wants to conform you, and it'll be a sad story if you let him. Oh, I need to preach to you here tonight. Huh? Conformed. A worldly frame of mind. You know what? She got the mentality, I want to go by God's fashion book. You know what God did? Used a neighbor woman that's not even a Christian that lives by Sister Diane's mother back in Virginia who has long hair to put pressure on her mother and say, "Oh, don't you dare talk to her about her hair." Said, "You encourage her to let it grow." She said, "When ladies cut their hair, they can only fix it one way. But when they let it grow, there's so many different things they can do with it." And the last time she went home, her mother was bragging on how beautiful her hair was. Hallelujah. Well, maybe mama's getting a little transformation too. I hope so. Can I hear an amen? You know what? If you'll just quietly, meekly, humbly, and gently let God work a beautiful transformation in your life, there's no telling who it will touch and affect in this world. Transformed. Not conformed. Hey, don't take the mold. Break the mold. How many would like to break the mold here tonight? Huh? You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to put Calvary Evangelistic Center in the same mold of all these other churches around here. Until there's nothing different, nothing unique, and nothing alive. You know, it bothers me when our people seem to be concerned about following the latest fashions. Hello? I don't make my clothes. My wife don't even make my clothes. I buy them at the store. Actually, my mother pretty much keeps me in suits. It's a real blessing. It really is. I buy my shoes and shirts and some of my, you know, casual clothes. I know we have to. I'm not telling you that, you know, to be Amish and you fellas get you a straw hat. I'm not telling you to do that. Now, I do have suspenders. Amen. But I wear them for a reason. Amen. I got tired of pulling my britches up while I was preaching. Amen. Are you going to help me preach here a little while? Amen. It was distracting to me and everybody else. I'm serious about preaching this gospel, Brother Hill. I don't want any distractions there. Amen. Amen. But you know, ladies especially, when you go buy your clothing, even when you buy a dress, you're probably going to have to transform it a little bit for it to fit God's standards. Hello? Yeah. And if you're being transformed, you'll transform what's around you. Huh? I'm afraid what happens many times, though, Brother Peter, is we conform instead of transforming it. Boy, my wife, she transforms the clothes. You know, she'll have to fix the where it's too low and where it's split too high and where it's too this and too that. Are you hearing me here? Hey, I'm gonna tell you what, because she has determined that she feels a pressure to please God greater than a pressure to please this world. Can I hear an amen? This is her book for style. Here. Amen. I would that women be adorned with modest apparel. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need some ladies that will be transformed instead of conformed. Hallelujah. Amen. We need men that will be transformed instead of conformed. Hello. Hey, look, I'm not... I got a family member. I never know how long his hair is going to be when I see him. And I never know what color it's going to be. And I never know which direction it's going to be combed in. Oh, God, help me here. You know? Oh, Lord, help me here. Huh? Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I don't preach against using hairspray or nothing like that, you know. But some of this stuff I've been seeing lately, you know. Huh? I'm like, what'd they do, put hair gel on the night before and go to bed? and just get up the next morning and go, wow. Huh? Lord, help me. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Go to pray for some of these guys, Brother Hill, and you know, you feel like you need an oil change when you get done. Hey, come on now. Well, now, you know, I'm not against using a little something to make it lay down there, but, you know, I'm seeing some stuff that you use. It ain't to make it lay down. It's to make it go crazy.
Come on now. Where are we getting this stuff from? What are we following? What kind of mold is being pressed on us? Are you listening to me here? Y'all love me? That's a loaded question, isn't it? Huh? Oh, God, here, help me. Listen. We need to follow. And desire behind it is the wrong intention and desire, then it could be something that may not in itself be evil, but it could be something that you need to stop. I wanted to fit in with the crowd when I was a boy. Everybody was parting their hair in the middle back then. My hair does not look good parted in the middle. I have to really work on it sometimes to get it to look presentable parted on the side. But, you know, Mom, she would, you know, I had to keep it cut and oh, Lord, help me. Those were tough years, a single mom raising a teenage boy. And sometimes she would give me maybe a little more liberty than she should. I don't know. I don't really know. God gave her wisdom to raise me, and I respect and appreciate my mother. But there was something about some of those hairstyles that were pulling me in the wrong direction, Brother Hill. You know what I did when I got down real serious with God? Now, I know this sounds nuts to you, but I'm talking here about some personal commitments. I made a commitment to God that I wouldn't part my hair in the middle anymore. I'd part it on the side. Because to me, amen, that was a, and I, if you're here tonight, you've got your hair parted in the middle, I don't think it's a sin to do that. I want you to understand me here. But there was a pull towards the fashion of this world, and I had to draw a line in my life. Am I making myself clear here tonight? There were good godly men that had stamped their impression on my life, and I wanted to follow them more than I wanted to follow the teenage pop rock style fashion of the time when I was growing up. I told one woman, preacher's wife at church, that I'm just a teenage boy, you know, okay, I didn't have a lot of wisdom, but I made the commitment. I was sincere in my heart, Brother Hill. I told her that I made it, and she said, oh, no! What if you go bald? She said. Well, you know, then it would be parted in the middle. That's what she said. Amen. Well, you know, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes you gotta set your foot down, amen, and make some commitments. I'm not gonna go any farther in that direction. I'm not gonna follow the pull in that direction. I am gonna be transformed and not conformed. Is it all about laying aside sins? Is it all about laying aside sins? What about weights?
Oh God, help me here. Transformed. Conformed. Don't take the mold. Break the mold. Are you listening to me here? You understand, I'm not saying it's a sin to part your hair in the middle. I'm just saying God was helping me to see that at some point I had to follow Him instead of this world. Where are you going to draw your lines at? You know, I'd rather draw my lines to where the world thought I was a little radical than to draw my lines where godly people thought I was a little worldly. Transformed. Conformed. Don't take the mold. Break the mold. Come on, Kim. I'm about to quit. You know, it's not all fashion. The devil, and I'm going to quit here. How many will give me about 5 more minutes? 3 more minutes. Huh? 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. No. No, listen. Listen. You know what the devil wants to do? You know what I've seen him do to a lot of people? I've seen him put a bitter vice on their mind. Maybe they got hurt. Maybe something happened. And he puts this bitter vice, Brother Young, on their mind. And he squeezes it. And everything they see through this mentality. Through the mentality of their hurt and through the mentality of their bitterness. Let me tell you what, God wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind. You know what? And I may preach on this some more this week. I understand we got some more folks that are coming in here, and I've been hitting this a lot here lately. But you know what we need to learn to do? We need to learn sometimes to forget. Oh, hallelujah. Forget. That's right. I can't forget. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. You believe God forgets our sins? Is that what the Bible says? It's a loaded question. Let me tell you what it actually says. He says this, I will remember them no more. Well, now what's the difference, Brother Kevin, if you forgot it or can't remember it? It doesn't say I can't remember it. He said, I will remember them no more. I really don't think omniscience has amnesia. But God says this, I choose not to remember that. You know what you got to do when that thing comes up and the devil wants to squeeze that old bitter vice on your mind? You got to say, nope, casting that imagination down. I choose not to remember that. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to make a decision here. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to think the right thing. I'm not going to be conformed to this bitter, angry mentality. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to let God do in me by His grace what He did in Stephen's life while they were stoning him, and he prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What a transformation! God, I feel the pressure of hell trying to put a mold on some good people here at Calvary Evangelistic Center. stopping their growth, Lord. Wanting to even cause them to regress by clipping and pruning them and planting them in a shallow pot. Making them an ornament of hell. But God, tonight, I pray, speak to hearts right here and help us to break the mold and not take the mold. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. You feel hell pressing you to conform. I want you to slip a hand up right now. Nobody looking. Slip your hand up. God bless you. Slip your hand up. Yeah, several hands. Several hands. You feel this pressure. Maybe to compromise. Maybe to let down. Maybe to relax a little bit in this area. Maybe to follow this certain worldly fashion. Real quick. How many feels heaven here tonight? Wanting to transform you and make you something wonderful, something useful for the kingdom of God. Can I see your hands here tonight? You felt a fresh challenge, a new touch. A fresh wind of the Holy Ghost breathing on your soul to be transformed more into the image of Christ than you ever have been before. Stand with me. Father, I thank you for this precious congregation, Lord, that you've planted here. I thank you, God, for Brother Hill, his obedience to the call of God. His vision. Thank you, Lord, for using his hands and heart as an instrument to open and plant a holiness church. Oh, God, I feel hell hates it. And wants to surround it and conform it and compress it. The same old compromising worldly church image. God, I pray right now, work something so deep in the hearts of some people right here, Lord, that if someday you take Brother Hill to a different field of labor, Lord, they'll be so intent on being transformed that they'll drop the right kind of seed around here, God, and we'll always have a holiness church here. Do it, Lord, I pray, in our hearts right now, I ask. I know you've already done it in some. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Would you meet me in this altar tonight? Come on. Just want to make a general call. I'd like to see you fill it up here tonight. I love this church, Brother Hill. I really appreciate what God's doing right here in Iowa. But I feel a satanic pressure to conform it. To conform it. But let's not be conformed. Let's break the mold. Let's not take the mold. Come on. Come on. God bless these young people. God bless these moms and dads. God bless these older folks. Come on. Come on. That's it.